Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a pretty significant document, the summary of the 2013 Western Cape State of Environment Outlook Report.
Right, it's basically a checkup from about a decade ago on the environmental health of the province.
Exactly. A health check for a region known for being, well, quite resource intensive.
Mm.
Okay, let's dive in. Before we get to the actual results, the diagnosis, how did they figure out what was going on? What was the main tool they used?
The report really leans on something called state of environment reporting. Specifically, they used a framework known as DPSIR.
DPSIR.
Yeah, it stands for drivers, pressures, state, impact, and finally, responses. It's a way to map out cause and effect in environmental issues.
Okay, can you give us an example of how that works?
Sure. So think about population growth. That's a driver. This leads to more cars on the road, which is a per start.
There's more traffic.
Exactly. That pressure changes the state of the air quality, maybe makes it worse.
Okay.
The impact could be things like, well, higher rates of respiratory illness in the population.
Exactly.
And that hopefully leads to responses, maybe new regulations on vehicle emissions or investment in public transport.
Got it. So it connects human activity right through to policy responses, a useful model for understanding these complex chains.
It really is. Helps to organize the thinking.
So when the researchers applied this DPSIR framework to the Western Cape back then, what was the headline, the single biggest finding?
Well, the main conclusion was pretty stark, actually. The province was essentially running a resource deficit.
A deficit.
Yeah. The overarching finding, the official rating for most natural resources was declining.
Declining. That's not good. Let's focus on those areas flagged as declining. What were the most urgent ones? Inland water, for instance, that has to be critical there.
Absolutely critical. And the outlook for inland water was definitely declining, largely because the balance between water supply and demand, it was negative.
Negative.
Yes. For 3 out of the 4 water management areas in the province, they were already using more water than could be reliably supplied.
Wow. 3 out of 4.
And another point they made was that only about 6% of the province's rivers were found to be in what you'd call a natural condition.
Wait, hold on. Only 6% of rivers are natural, and they're running a water deficit in most management areas. That sounds like immense pressure. Does that spill over directly into the ecosystems?
It absolutely does. Biodiversity and ecosystem health also rated as declining.
Unsurprising, I guess, given the water situation.
Right. The pressures from, you know, urban sprawl, agriculture, are huge. The report identified 58 threatened terrestrial ecosystems.
58.
And maybe even more alarming, they found that 70% of all freshwater fish species were considered threatened.
70%? That's staggering. For every 10 species, 7 are at risk.
It paints a pretty grim picture for freshwater ecosystems, yeah.
Okay, so we have this really worrying deficit in water and biodiversity, but here's where I think it gets interesting. Was everything declining? Were there any areas where things were stable or maybe even improving? Any good news?
Yes, actually. And it highlights a real contrast. While the natural environment was under severe stress, the picture for human settlements was quite different. The outlook there was rated as improving.
Improving.
How so? Well, the province had made significant strides in service delivery. Access to piped water, for example, reached 99.1% of households.
Nearly universal access. That's impressive.
Electricity access was also high at 93.4%. So in terms of providing basic services, the Western Cape was actually ahead of the national average. It shows what focused policy can achieve in certain areas.
That's a really important contrast. Success in human infrastructure alongside decline in natural systems. What about air quality? I think that was different again.
Correct. Air quality was rated as stable. Generally, the ambient pollutant levels were below the national standards.
So mostly okay, but...
But yeah, there were still challenges. Yeah. Specific hotspots, like the well-known brown haze you sometimes see over Cape Town, particularly linked to vehicle emissions. So stable, but not perfect.
Right. Okay, so if we pull back and look at the big picture, the declining nature, the improving settlements, how does the report synthesize all this?
It really frames the whole issue around sustainability. It emphasizes that development, you know, human progress, needs to happen within the limits of the planet's resources. They talk about the environmental ceiling.
The environmental ceiling.
Yeah.
Like a hard limit we shouldn't cross.
Exactly. And the goal, the report suggests, is to meet the social foundation, those basic human needs, like the water and electricity access we talked about.
Right, the improving part.
Yes. But to do that without breaking through that environmental ceiling, it means finding a new way to operate.
So essentially, the province needs to figure out how to thrive, how to maintain that social progress without destroying the natural systems it ultimately depends on.
Precisely. And that requires what they call decoupling, separating economic growth and population growth from environmental damage.
Which is easier said than done, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge challenge. You can't just keep doing things the same way, relying on resource-intensive growth.
So the report's conclusion, it calls for a radical shift in the modus operandi, I read. That sounds pretty strong. What's the final warning, the takeaway for people?
Well, the bottom line, the real warning, is financial. It argues that if the province doesn't change course, if it stays on this resource-intensive path,
then what?
Then it faces significantly higher costs in the future. Costs from managing more frequent disasters like droughts, floods, you know, things linked to environmental breakdown.
Okay, disaster management costs going up.
And also costs from the failure of economies that depend directly on those declining resources. Think about small-scale farming, fisheries,
yeah,
sectors that are really vulnerable.
So the cost of not acting on the environment is actually financial instability down the line.
That's the core message. Environmental inaction isn't just bad for nature. It's a direct threat to economic stability and well-being for everyone in the province. That's the thought to really chew on.